When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Direct.com. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Ah, George Strait. And don't mess with Texas. Two Texas icons just like, come on, this jacket. It's custom and is perfect for fighting litter with glitter. Huh? You don't like the jacket. And I like the jacket! But you love horses, huh? Am I right? Look at that. George doesn't like the horse. Of course you don't like the horse. It's a tiny horse. What you need are boots! Because the king of country can't go walking around barefoot.
Hang on.
KILT. KILT FM HD2 Houston. Insider access. Exclusive content. Sports Radio 610. The Texans play here. An Odyssey sports station.
Check out the BetQL Network. Wagertainment for every fan. Get sports betting tips from the best in the game. Available on the Odyssey app and our sister station 650 The Bet.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
The entire thing is, you know, Aziz hits the guy, but their sideline overreacts, and it turns out and turns into a melee. It wasn't our guys. It's their team overreacted, pushed our guy, dragging our guy to the sideline, so that's uncalled for on that side. We have to be better on the sidelines as well with both teams.
So I'm on my walk yesterday, and I'm listening to D'Amico Ryan's press conference on my favorite sports radio station in town, Sports Radio 610.
And I know guys there.
Yeah, I know a few guys that work at this place. And so I was listening to it, enjoying a beautiful Houston day, and I was listening to D'Amico's answers about the Aziz Alshire situation, you know, from when he hit Trevor Lawrence and was ejected from the game on Sunday. And it was the topic at the press conference. You know, first four answers at the press conference, and we get our cuts, are all about Aziz Alshire. And that particular answer right there, talking about the Jags sideline, was where I said to myself, man, I'm proud of D'Amico in this press conference right now. I'm enjoying this press conference, and especially because, Seth, for the last several Monday press conferences, he's been very vanilla because the topic has been more about the offense and not scoring in the second half. And
yes,
it's right. It's been very, very cookie. We've had to wait for the coaches' show. We've had to wait for the coaches' show to come out to get insightful, really insightful and entertaining and interesting, D'Amico. And I'm listening. I'm going, this is interesting. D'Amico taking up for his guy, dragging the Jags sideline into the conversation. And I'm not saying that were D'Amico a player in that situation and it was, say, Matt Schaub getting hit like that, that D'Amico wouldn't have reacted the same way some of the Jags did on the sideline. Like, we don't know, or you can't go back in time. However, I liked that answer. I like that D'Amico, this was as feisty a version of D'Amico taking up for his team with his team, maybe feeling a little persecuted here almost.
Well,
I liked this yesterday.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, because this is what happens when we get into these situations. You got all these people that just want to white knight and act like they're the protectors of all that is good and pure in football, and they start acting like this is the worst thing that's ever happened. He's like Hitler. You know, like they love to run with it to the point where you're like, all right, listen. All right, the way the rules are, sure, there's probably going to be a suspension because of Aziz Alshire's pass, but let's not act like this is the worst thing you've ever seen in the history of football. please. This is a guy playing up to the echo of the whistle the way you would want all your players to do. And that also, D'Amico is a former linebacker, knows this. Man, the quarterbacks get all these protections. But then what do? They abuse the protections. They're like a regulatory agency, Sean, where they just, okay, the government gives them certain license, and then all of a sudden they start running hog wild with things. Yes, they have protections, but they also manipulate the protections. So, I mean, there's no way. I've watched that play 100 times or more by now. Trevor Lawrence is trying to slide to that first down marker, because it's not the way I think people think that they mark it down where you start the slide. It's actually where your first body part hits the ground.
Okay.
So Trevor Lawrence is trying to get as much distance as possible before he hits the ground. Well, he's facing a guy who is a known bludgeoner. A great bludgeoner of human beings. Mm-hmm. It usually clean and legal. Every now and then it toes the line a little bit. Let's settle the hell down. And I've seen former quarterbacks, I've seen former coaches echo this sentiment. Man, the quarterback has, like, he's got some role in this too.
Yeah.
Like, Trevor Lawrence was trying to just push it to the absolute envelope there, and he was trying to get a first down. Don't try to cry to me about player safety when Trevor Lawrence knew damn well what he was doing there.
Yeah.
So get rid of the quarterback slide rule altogether. But aside from that, all the other stuff, people acting like this is the worst hit they've ever seen. This is not even, he wasn't even targeting the head. Like, it's obvious he's not targeting that. He ends up in the neck area, but he was not targeting the head. You're going to tell me over the last 15 years since this started to become a real point of emphasis, the multiple instances of guys actually blatantly hit people in the head were somehow not as bad as this? It's radicalized me, Sean. It's turned me into,
yeah.
I'm going to have an encampment on the quad later, because this is pushing me over the edge. I was trying to be measured. I was trying to be calm about it. But people have gone damn loco over this, and it's crazy.
Yeah, let's hear from D'Amico Ryans on this from yesterday at his press conference. And he started out by talking about, Trevor, echoing what Seth said, Trevor slid late.
You know, with the entire Aziz, situation, we stand behind Aziz and everything, that came from that. Of course, he unfortunately hit on the quarterback. But it's also, it's twofold, right? I mean, a lot of the quarterbacks in this day and age, they try to take advantage of the rule where they slide late and they try to get an extra yard. And now you're a defender, a lot of onus is on the defender, right? Whether it's on the sideline or where it's on the quarterback, you don't know what a guy's thinking. You don't know if a guy's standing up and he's continuing to run. You don't know. And then you get a late slide and you hit the guy. Unfortunately that Trevor got hurt. We want hope Trevor is okay, but it's also, if we're sliding, we have to get down. If we're getting out of bounds, we get out of bounds, and that rule is there to protect the quarterbacks, and we want our quarterbacks to be safe in the league, so we just have to be safe. If we're sliding, make sure we're keeping our heads down.
Yeah, I see. I like that D'Amico goes into detail there. It's not just, I'm taking up for our guy, and we'll see what the punishment is, and we don't teach it this way. Like, I like that he talked about the Jags sideline. I don't know, again, I don't know that if D'Amico were a player in that situation and it's his quarterback, that he wouldn't have gone in to defend his guy.
Yeah.
But I'm totally cool, and I really like the angle D'Amico Ryans took on this yesterday. And from a Texans perspective,
isn't an innovative approach in this regard. It's D'Amico has already done this when Elshire got into the scrum on the Bears sideline after he hit
Sunday
Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Everybody surrounded him. Elshire punches a dude. And D'Amico criticized the Bears sideline for that. I'm there. I'm cool with it, man. It's gotten nonsensical.
Yeah.
I know, look, McClain said it's the worst hit he's seen. I don't understand all these people forgetting, like, so many obviously glaringly worse hits. The whole entire Vontaze Burfict era.
Okay.
You know, like, there's just, it's absurd. It's so stupid.
I've got a list. Okay, I've got a list. You tell me, was Aziz Alshire's hit on Trevor Lawrence worse than Ndamukong Suh kicking Matt Schaub in the nuts intentionally or stomping on Aaron Rodgers' arm? intentionally.
Nope. Not as bad.
Not as bad.
Nope. Those were premeditated actions. Yeah.
That could have really, especially in the case of Aaron Rodgers, could have, you know, that you can break his arm by stomping on his arm. Vontaze Burfict, you mentioned, dirtier play. Albert Haynesworth taking his cleat and dragging it across the forehead of Andre Garrard and sending Garrard to the hospital for plastic surgery in 30 stitches.
That seems worse.
Yeah,
that seems like it was actually worse.
Yeah,
yeah, that seems like you're definitely trying to injure somebody there in a really dirty way.
Miles Garrett ripping Mason Rudolph's helmet off of his head and then using it as a weapon to club Mason Rudolph over the head with his own helmet.
Right. That was pretty bad.
That seems worse. How about the play? This is a long time ago, but remember when, this play essentially ended Jim McMahon's career, or at least ended his run as a good quarterback in the NFL, when Charles Martin, go find it, kids. It's on there. It's on YouTube. Charles Martin of the Packers, literally about 5 seconds after the ball is gone, is standing next to Jim McMahon and just turns, grabs him, and slams him down on his shoulder. Like,
I guess that one's, I kind of disqualify any of those from the equation because it's more okay. What's, since they started
back
really
in the day,
protecting the quarterbacks. Those days. And that was it's not like everybody was like, oh, that's cool. That's how football
John
is.
John McClain and others are saying it's the dirtiest play they've ever seen.
Did he say ever seen?
I don't know.
You know what?
I'm guessing no. But and I would go find John's tweet, except John retweets everything. I have to sift through 500 retweets of stuff, including my own, to find John's actual original tweet. All I know is I had several people, as I was merely pointing out how ape-like the Jacksonville Jaguar fans were for throwing things at people as they were walking into the tunnel. There's a video of the Jags fans throwing bottles at Azeez Al-Shaair and Will Anderson. And all I said was, good look, Jacksonville, idiots. And people are like, oh, look who's taking up for Azeez Al-Shaair.
Okay, you're right. Okay, you were exactly right. John McClain. You got to use the search, by the way, Sean. You can't be scrolling like some caveman. I've been covering the NFL for 48 years, and I can't remember a cheap shot worse than what Al-Shaair did to Lawrence.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, okay. Come on, John.
Charles Martin picked up Jim McMahon practically after the play was over and ended his career for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, that was in a 48-year window from right now.
Yes, it definitely was. I was older than 7 when that happened, yes.
I don't even think it was dirty. I think it was exactly what it was, which is hard. It's hard to judge whether a guy's going to actually slide or not. And I think it was an unfortunate hit. It's one of those very, very unfair situations for anybody in open space really trying to tackle a quarterback. It is what it is, and I get why he'll be fined and probably suspended because of his priors. But I have all these people just kind of casually labeling it dirty without even debating whether it was dirty or not. That it's absurd. It's crazy.
Yep.
It's just absolutely nuts. So, I'm invested now. I was trying to be measured, man. But there's so much idiocy out there about this hit right now that I can't take it anymore, and I'm forced to become a radical.
Right. Same. I'm with you on this. Okay, so now let's get to the practicality part of it. Texans are on a bye week, but it looks like, according to Adam Schefter, I don't know if this is a report that he's going to get suspended Azeez or that this is Schefter kind of straddling the line of what he's hearing. The wording was that it is anticipated that
Azeez... No, he can go die, too.
Okay, but let's just talk about a possible Azeez suspension here first. Let's pretend... Adam Schefter said it is anticipated that Azeez Al-Shaair will get some sort of suspension coming out of the bye week. We don't know how long...
We don't know who's anticipating there. Schefter, that's a bogus report.
I got it.
There's a lot of people feel or assume he's going to get suspended.
So forget the wording. Let's pretend that a suspension is coming. What does that do to the game against the Dolphins? What is it? Or how nervous are we that this could drift into the Chiefs game? Like, what's the impact of Noah Azeez Al-Shaair against... Let's keep it to the Dolphins.
Do you remember how Mac Jones looked like one of the best quarterbacks in the league in the second half last
week? Yes, I do.
Remember how he was getting rid of the ball
quickly? 2 days ago, yeah.
Right. And remember how they were attacking the middle of the field?
Yes.
With crossing routes and whatnot?
And they were doing it with Evan Engram and Brian Thomas, not Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, yeah.
That's what tends to happen when you're down one of your more athletic linebackers. So there's that. And then I would go on to the Ravens game, too. The one thing the Eagles did versus the Ravens was they just Vic Fangio in that game basically said, all right, listen, we fear your run game way more than we fear these wide receivers. So we're going to load up the line of scrimmage, and we're going to do everything we can to stop the run game. If Lamar Jackson kills us with his arms, so be it. And it worked out. So likewise, I think without Alshire out there, it really handcuffs you in terms of how much you can play that game. Mm-hmm. You know, like load up the line of scrimmage, but still have guys in coverage. That's where it gets a lot dicier and trickier. So it's going to be tough versus these next three teams regardless. This makes it that much harder. Sure. I think it's unfortunate timing, not just because they're good teams, but because of the style of their offense.
All right.
Tua Tagovailoa gets rid of the ball faster than anybody else in the league. Yeah, that's my point about the quick release.
Yep,
stuff
there you go. There you go. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Hey, Case Keenum's going to join us on the show at 8 o'clock today.
Progressive spokesperson,
yes,
Case Keenum?
Yes, yes. Progressive spokesperson Case Keenum is going to join us at 8 o'clock. So we're pushing the Pettycast into the 7 o'clock hour. We're going to do that after we talk to Ross Tucker today.
To be clear, everybody, that's Progressive Insurance. Don't worry. We're not... Case isn't like... Case isn't entering some political race or anything.
No,
yeah,
he's not. All right. So that's coming up later on the show, so stay tuned for that. Up next, confidence meter in the Texans. I asked the people, what did the Jags win do for your confidence in the Texans coming out of the bye week next week? We will let you know what the people had to say coming up.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Up next,
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, a lot of people weighing in. If you want to weigh in, the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610. And football super fan. So there was an actual football game that was played. surrounding the before and after the Aziz Alshire hit on Trevor Lawrence, there was roughly 59 minutes and 46 seconds of football played.
I had the thought this morning as I was going over some of the plays from the game that, you know what, this was actually a much better football game than we were willing to acknowledge in the moment. Because with all the issues the Texans have faced and their underperformance, you're kind of just always, you don't want to believe it. And like if the Texans had been playing really well all along the way and they were getting stuffed in the run game in the first half, there'd be a part of you that'd say, like, all right, just keep at it, and it'll click. But that's not how the run game's been going for the Texans. It's been the opposite. Except this is exactly what happened. They kept at it, and all of a sudden it clicked. Bobby Slowick changed the play calling somewhat within the run game, and they ran the hell out of the ball in the second half. So, yeah, it was a good game.
It was a good game.
We just didn't want to acknowledge it at the time.
Is it a game that inspires confidence among Texan fans? That this team is going to round into playoff form here sometime soon.
I'm excited because I have not looked at the results.
Okay, good,
of your poll.
Good. I like when you don't look at the Pender poll.
What are my options?
Your options are this. Let me read the question first here. I posted this on Monday, obviously. Does the win by the Texans over Jacksonville make you more confident, less confident, or same amount of confidence as before the game? That they can handle the Miami, KC, Baltimore 10-day gauntlet.
Boy, I wonder how much the results would have changed if you hadn't added that last part in.
More, less. Yeah, because you can't. I don't even really look at this coming out of the bye as the Miami game. I'm looking at it. Yeah. I mean, because it's so condensed, you have to look at it for what it is. It's three, I think, anywhere from decent to excellent football teams. In a 10 or 11-day period, 15th through the 25th or whatever. So what do you think the winner was? More confident, less confident, same amount of confidence? About 1,000 votes on this poll.
I think it's probably, you know, immediately afterwards, I was feeling the same level. There's actually some things where I've deluded myself into being more confident.
Okay, so are you going to give me your answer, or are you going to try to predict?
No, I'm trying to gauge. I'm talking my way through how I'm thinking about it and seeing how the so I'm guessing the largest answer, not a simple majority, but the largest answer was same level of confidence.
Same level of confidence is the winner, and it actually is a majority.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
54.3%. Say same level of confidence. Now here's where it gets interesting. How was the other 45.7% split between more or less confident?
Yeah, so we're getting kind of a runoff here. Okay.
Which
like a fair one, because it's only, you know, half the people said whatever. So the people that care, this is how elections are decided, right? It's on the fringe. It's on the fringe. I'm gonna say more people are more confident.
Overwhelmingly, more people are less confident in the Texans. Ooh. Yeah. See, this is how it goes. Same amount of confidence, as I just said, 54.3%. Less confident, 39.5%.
Oh, wow.
There's only 6.2% of Texan fans.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, this is on Twitter. a medium
it's the
that
best
tends,
gauge we have.
It's the only
the
gauge
on the
we have.
Feels or believes
guys
Sean.
Like us. Yes,
you and I with our not just the average man. You and I both have at least like 5% women following us on Twitter.
At
so
least,
yes.
I think we might be the most female friendly hosts in the city. 6.2% more confident. So that win, at least amongst the constituency following me, willing to vote in the Pender poll, didn't do a lot for people on Sunday.
It's interesting because you could look at that two ways. If you're one of the more optimistic people, you might say, well, it's still less than 50% of people feel worse about it.
Yeah.
So the majority of people are kind of either in hover mode or, hey, yeah, actually feel pretty good. Or you could say that, okay, the people who don't feel any different probably felt kind of skeptical and cynical to begin with. So I think that's my take too. So I would say, yeah, there's a very small percentage of people that feel very positive about the chances.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is how many people feel less confident in them. Like 40% of people watch that Jags game and watch them win a game.
Right.
Really, I mean, honestly, for most of that game, be the better football team out there, you know, other than prevent mode allowing two touchdowns, which, you know, again, that's something that's super frustrating. I get it. I think it's really interesting that the 40% of the people voting in this watch them win a football game on the road, albeit against the Jags, a game that they pretty much controlled throughout the second half for the most part, and that they closed at the end when they let it get a little close and said, nope, I'm less confident. I'm same. I think this team is clearly a tier below the really good teams in the AFC. I think they're above the bad teams. I think they are an upper middle of the road AFC team right now, and I feel the same coming out of that Jags game. So I am same. But what would it be about that game that would make people less confident, do you think?
Well, I think this is the biggest thing, and this is where I've revised my opinion on it a little bit. It's ironically what happened in the second half, but on the defensive side of the ball. You know, where the offense finally got it going and scored 17 points in the second half. I think the fact that the Texans had a really healthy lead, and, you know, at one point 23-6.
Yeah.
And that's where, hey, people want them to step on the throat of the Jaguars. I felt like everybody else did immediately after the game. Like, my God, how did you let Mac Jones go off like that? Really, it was a smart game management by DeMeco. And it's what we've talked about before. It never feels good in the moment. But when you're watching the Jaguars drive down the field and score a touchdown, in the moment, you're like, oh my gosh, how are you letting them back in this game? That was midway through the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. you know, and they started, the Texans, they were playing soft zones, rushing with four, allowing the Jaguars to move the ball, but it was sucking up a lot of time off the clock. But it still ends up being a 23-20 victory. That's a part of it, man. If you're at a point where you want to say, look, Mac Jones, the backup, who hasn't scored in the double digits in the last 2 weeks as a starter, you're allowing that team to score 20 points against you. It's not a good football team. If you can't emphatically slam the door shut on that team, if you're playing possession football. I mean, look, there's a team that's playing possession football, but it came down to a third and four that they had to run to really effectively slam the door shut. If not, Mac Jones is getting another opportunity out there potentially. So I don't, I get it.
Yep.
But I'm a little bit more forgiving because at least I understood the strategy and it was working out and it didn't, you know, they had the entire fourth quarter to kind of let the clock bleed down, but it just didn't feel good.
No, it didn't. It definitely did not. Text message, why are you overlooking Tennessee? They kicked the Texans' ass. We need to be worried about them. That's the last game of the year. That's January 5th. I'll worry about January 5th. Looking at this three-game set here. We'll respect the Titans when it comes time to respect the Titans.
This is why. It's a fair point, dear listener. I think it's this. The magic number is two. Texans have to win two games to seal the playoffs. They're coming up against three teams that what's the opening line? Is there a line on the Dolphins one?
I'll find it. Last week it was Texans minus 2.5.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not inconceivable that they go 0-3 in this stretch of games.
Right.
You got to win at least one of these games. Given the way they've played over the last few weeks, they got to make some improvement to certainly win two of those games. But you got to win at least one of those games for the Tennessee game to be that important. And then if you win two of those games, the Tennessee game is moot.
Well, we should point out a Colts loss is as good as a Texans win. You know,
yeah,
like
that's
that.
Yeah, that's if the Colts win out.
Yeah, and, like yeah. You, yeah, like that's that the ultimate conservative approach. Just say, hey, let's focus on ourselves and pretend that the Colts are going to win. And by the way, the Colts now they play the Broncos in the next game coming out of the bye week. You know, Broncos last night, Monday Night Football. Look, I don't want to say the Broncos looked good. They had two pick sixes and a 93-yard touchdown reception. Like, it was – that
Jameis
was
– Winston threw for over 400 yards.
Dude, he was almost at 500. I had – dude.
Jerry Jeudy looked like Jerry Rice.
He did. He had 235 yards receiving last night. It was an entertaining game to watch. Now, I had Browns plus 6.5. And these Jameis pick sixes. Like, this is a one-score game the whole time. Jameis throws a pick six to make it a 9-point game at the end. Then he drives the Browns down in the last minute. I'm like, okay, cool. We're going to get either a garbage field goal or a garbage touchdown to cover the spread. Nope. Jameis throws another pick in the end zone. Like, Jameis threw two pick sixes last night. But on the flip side, he threw for almost 500 yards. Like, that's Jameis, man. It's Jameis in a nutshell.
Right now, Indianapolis is favored by 2.5 points in Denver.
I think that's okay. That's you and I went through this exercise last week. Like, what's the spread on all the Texan games the rest of the year? What's the spread on all the Colts games the rest of the year? And you and I use the same website to look ahead at these lines. And according to this website, the Colts are going to be favored in every game the rest of the year. If the Colts are favored by 2.5 in Denver coming out of the bye week, I am pounding the Broncos. Like, the Colts just struggled to beat the Patriots on the road.
Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
50% completion.
That's a good defense the Broncos have.
110 yards or so.
That's
got to
be a typo, man. That's got to be a typo.
No, it's the conundrum that is Anthony Richardson.
Oh, my God.
He can do so much with his... he makes these circus throws downfield, and then he does damage with his legs. And with that, look, we've known for years, this is the Colts. They've got a really good roster. They just don't have a quarterback. But now they've got a different flavor of it with a quarterback who on any given Sunday or Monday night or whenever can be a gigantic headache for you.
Yeah. People weighing in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, still weighing in on Aziz Alshire. We talked about that in the open. If you missed that, I'm sure we'll talk about it with Ross Tucker at the top of the hour.
Ross.
Yeah, we got Rossi coming up at 7 o'clock. Case Keenum, 8 o'clock with us on the show today.
Ever heard of him? Yeah.
Yep.
That's what I thought.
Text message. Yesterday on the NFL Network, they repeatedly referred to the Aziz Alshire hit as, quote, helmet to helmet, and were discussing that the suspension should be for the rest of the season. Where was the helmet to helmet? I sure didn't see it. Jay in Freeport, you didn't see it because it didn't happen.
I'm reading all these articles where these writers are saying this. Like, clearly targeting the head, helmet-to-helmet contact. What the hell are you guys even talking about?
Rest of the year. Suspended the rest of the year. Like, I feel like people don't watch football.
Like, I know. Even, like, I feel like these people that are claiming it was the dirtiest hit they've ever seen. What are you talking about? How are you so willfully lying to the masses? Like, I guess I shouldn't be surprised.
No.
That's life in 2024.
I guess.
There's a flat-out lie. Doesn't matter. Just, it's just, hey, I'm going to say it, and enough people will believe it that I'll get some extra followers.
Scary,
on X.
Man. Yep. Let's see. I really hope Aziz is, this is a text message. I really hope Aziz is not suspended for the Kansas City game. Mahomes won't be pulling that fake slide BS against us. I'm glad somebody brought this up. That is, like, Trevor Lawrence maybe waiting till the very last minute to slide is one thing, you know, kind of like drawing somebody in to absorb a hit like that is one thing. This stuff that Mahomes does, and he's not the only one, but Mahomes is probably the one that doesn't need to do it. Like, he's great. The stuff where he's starting to fake slide so guys pull off, and then he goes and runs for another 25 yards after that. I'm just taking advantage of the rules. What's your problem, man? he's never said that. That's celebrity impersonation. But that's lame. I mean, that is lame. You are protected by these rules. This is like your dad's the mayor or something like that. So you're just jaywalking through the intersection because you've got privilege here. You know, like, you're the only one that's not going to get arrested.
Yeah, look, and Trevor Lawrence is a guy that's been injured so much in his career. The last thing he needs to be doing is pushing the envelope on that, which he does, though. It's clear that he's trying to get as close as he can to that first down marker.
Yep.
I mean, because they don't mark you where you first drop your pads. They mark you where the first body part hits. His shin hits the ground 1 yard ahead of the line to gain there, and that's where they marked it. And because he was trying to get to that line, he was trying to game the system, which quarterbacks are protected to a ridiculous degree. And like, that's the flat out sum total of it all. And some people don't like watching other human beings get hit anymore in football.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're calling that the dirtiest hit you've ever seen, you're a liar. You're a liar. You're lying.
Well, yeah.
And, like, you're just flat out lying.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Ross Tucker joins us top of the hour. We get his thoughts on all this at the top of the hour. Headlines coming up next. Could there be a suspension for Aziz Alshire coming down the pike? Yes, we mentioned it. Entertaining Monday Night Football. We've got Jameis audio following a game where he threw two pick sixes, and it's as glorious as you can possibly imagine. We'll get to all that coming up in headlines next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
the much needed rest is here, and we're going to take advantage of it. We've been going at it for a long time, going back. We were one of the first teams to start training camp with the Hall of Fame game, so it's been a long time of going at it, and our guys, I feel like they've handled it really well. No excuses, no complaining about our schedule and where our bye week falls, but right now it's coming at a great time for us, and we're excited to get the rest, relaxation, and take advantage of it.
This is probably, I would say, that's D'Amico Ryans yesterday talking about the Texans finally getting a bye week. We'll hear more from D'Amico here in a second on the possibility of Azeez Alshire getting suspended for his hit on Trevor Lawrence. This has got to be the longest stretch that any NFL team has gone without a break, because the Texans started earlier than everybody else except Chicago because of the Hall of Fame game. The Texans started training camp on July 19th, which is a good 8 or 9 days earlier than they normally start. And they've gone the whole season. They had that break at the end of training camp where you're gone for a couple. Everybody gets that, where you're gone for a couple of weeks before the opener. But a week 14 bye. So they've been training camp early, bye super late. I would imagine these guys are ready for a rest right now.
The teams that are have a bye in week 14, which is the last week there are any byes.
Yeah.
The Ravens, the Broncos, the Colts, the Patriots, and the Commanders.
Okay.
I think with a few of those teams you could look at, maybe look at the Broncos last night and wonder if, oh boy, maybe they're running on fumes at this point. The Ravens, I mean, the Ravens lose to the Eagles, but that I bet every one of these teams is feeling like, okay, yeah, now is the time for a bye. Goodness, me myself personally, I've always been skeptical of caring about where the bye is, but yeah, this year I feel it.
This is extreme. Yeah, this is extreme. No question. So so good on the Texans. They've got a bye now. Normally, when there's a bye week coming up, things are a little light in terms of content. You know, you got to fish a little bit. Well, that's not the case, at least early in the week here, thanks to Azeez Alshire splattering Trevor Lawrence all over the field at Everbank Stadium on Sunday. There's plenty to talk about with that. D'Amico Ryan's press conference yesterday, man, as I was listening to it, I'm going, man, I'm proud of D'Amico. I like the way he's attacking this thing. He said that the Jags were partially culpable in the way that whole thing went, the totality of it went down.
Yeah, the entire thing is, you know, Azeez hits the guy, but their sideline overreacts, and it turns out and turns into a melee. It wasn't our guys, it's their team overreacted, pushed our guy, dragging our guy to the sideline. So that's uncalled for on that side. We have to be better on the sidelines as well with both teams.
I love that. Hey, man, they did stuff, too. I love that. There was a hit, and Azeez started it, but, yeah, they didn't have to drag him over there like Cobra Kai and surround him and start beating him up. What the hell? Yeah.
Evan Ingram doled out his eye for an eye justice there. Where basically, Evan Ingram's hit was way dirtier than Azeez Alshire's,
yes,
which I don't actually think was dirty at all. Honestly, Sean, I'm glad you brought up the Pat Mahomes and his habit of faking the slide.
Yeah,
I'm watching him versus the Lions right now. The one that he kind of stuttered, looked like he was going to go down. A linebacker, a safety,
pulls up.
I'm guessing he was crushed by the local media that week for like, oh, I can't believe it. And no, Mahomes was probably crushed. That it was almost the exact same situation. Mahomes ends up getting the first down.
Yeah,
and like this belief that somehow linebackers have ESP in understanding and knowing a quarterback's attention. Man, I almost want to swear. Yeah, and then, Evan Ingram, all right, cool, you're sticking up for your guy. It was a weird melee where it gave the appearance of them dragging Azeez Alshire back over into their lair on the sideline.
Yeah. We're gonna dole out some justice here. The weird thing was Evan Ingram didn't even get ejected from the game. They ejected that other guy, number 22, who's, I don't even remember his name. But Evan Ingram stayed in the game after coming over and hitting Azeez Alshire. Anyways, the upshot of all this is, according to Adam Schefter, it is, quote, anticipated that Azeez Alshire is going to get some sort of suspension for this. If he gets suspended for this, Seth, I would imagine that it's more for two things. One, the highlight reel of Azeez Alshire incidents over the last couple years that is making its rounds on the internet now. Him grabbing Tom Brady by the throat, him hitting Caleb Williams and then punching a guy out of bounds, all these things. You know, his late hit in the Colts game. I guess the cumulative effect of that, plus he didn't exactly leave the field shrouded in glory. He started multiple fights. We came back from the commercial. While you were gone, here's another fight that got started by Aziz Alshire.
The question that I'm asked the most that I have just no answer for is, how much does the melee afterwards factor into... and that's where I wonder, my core tells me it shouldn't matter. I want to say it's almost a separate issue, but in terms of the NFL and the PR component with it and all of that, I think they factor it into it.
Dude.
So, yeah, I because of Aziz Alshire's priors and because this was flagged and fined, I think that the league is going to say, all right, man, you've been toeing the line. You've been stepping over it at times too regularly that we're going to send a message here. So... Kiko Alonso had a similar hit a few years ago against Joe Flacco, but I don't think Kiko had the same priors that Aziz Alshire
did.
I'm cool with the punishment. I'm not cool with people acting like it was obvious that he knew that Trevor Lawrence was going to slide there.
If you think this is the worst thing ever, or even among the worst things ever that you've seen, then you're lying.
You're lying to yourself, but you're not being honest with either yourself or others.
Yep, that's how I feel on that. All right, let's get to Monday Night Football. It was an entertaining game. Why? Because Jameis Winston was involved. For the second straight week, we get the Browns on prime time late in the season. And the final score, 41-32. Jameis Winston threw for nearly 500 yards in this game. Now, he threw 6 touchdowns. The problem was 2 of them were to the other team. He threw 4 to his teammates, and he threw 2 to the Broncos. 2 pick sixes in this game, including a pick six that kind of put the game away, or at least put 2 score distance between the Broncos and the Browns. 41-32 is the final score. Jameis even drove the Browns down for what would have been kind of a garbage touchdown to make it look a little closer. He threw a pick in the end zone there, too. So he winds up throwing 2 pick sixes and a game-ending interception. Here was Jameis Winston following the game on what he wants from the Lord.
I am a better player, you know. But in times like this, you know, it's an opportunity to continue to glorify the Lord even through the toughest circumstances. I know I'm better than this. I know I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes. That's not me. A phenomenal game, offense, do some great things, but I messed it up.
Okay,
deliver me from pick sixes.
So the discussion you and I had last week after that snowball game on Thursday, or I guess it'd be 2 weeks ago now, the Thursday prior to Thanksgiving, that we were like, you know, like Jameis as the backup on the Texans, like, this would be kind of fun. Like, if anything ever happened to CJ, Jameis comes in there and he's slinging it around and jumping around and doing his thing and has his quotes after the game. And then I'm watching that game last night, and mind you, I have the Browns +6.5 in this game, so Jameis really screwed me here. But I'm watching that game last night, I'm like, nope, I'm out on Jameis as a backup for CJ Stroud. And then I hear that quote right there. I'm like, no, I'm all the way back in. Bring this man here and give him a press conference every week, even when he's not playing. I need, Lord, deliver me from pick sixes.
Early in the game, he missed a really wide open David Njoku on the sidelines. And it wasn't as a horrible, horrible miss. I think it was just okay. He felt awful about it. You could see on the sideline. At first, I thought he might have been pouting, like he thought Njoku ran the wrong route or something, but he was like, no, he was beating himself up for it. And then they missed the field goal on that drive, and he was just, man, Jameis, talk about redemption stories. Jameis, as he would tell you, was an incredibly immature, had alcohol issues, all of that stuff, and he turned his life around. He cleaned himself up, and he's just a completely different guy. I think if I had to listen to him every day, I might get tired of it.
Maybe.
But in fits and spells, I'm cool with it. I hope the Lord delivers him from pick six.
I do too.
He deserves a fate better than Brock Osweiler.
Yes.
Another former great Browns quarterback.
Yeah. Yes. Jameis is just, man, he is a gem. Rockets in Sacramento tonight, 9:00 tip. Rockets 15-6 on the season. So they're a little West Coast swing here going on. Sacramento, and I think Golden State is up after that. So this is fun, man. This is a fun early season for the Rockets here. So get to your TVs tonight at 9:00. All right. Those are your headlines for today. We get the next college football playoff rankings tonight as well, so we'll see where everybody slides in for that in the week prior to conference title game week. Up next, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Texans' win over the Jags. We'll get his thoughts on the Azeez Alshire hit. Where does it rank on the dirty scale for Ross Tucker? We'll ask him. That's all coming up next.